This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. How you doing, buddy?
Shell of Bill Goldberg, nonetheless. Doing great, I think.
We want to hear about your trip that we were sort of alluding to last week, but let's talk about Bet Online real quick. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our website, to our online casino, and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or one of over 150 different slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's BLEAV, BELIEVE, for your 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, the game starts here. Yeah. All right, so I don't know how much we actually said last week, but you were wheels up right after the podcast, or this week, after we did the podcast before, and headed out to do a little celebrity drag racing session. And I don't even know what the point was, just for fun, or was it for a commercial, or was it getting filmed for something, or was it just trying to get a group of guys together, just sort of like-minded guys?
Okay. Cat's out of the bag. Obviously, the event has already been done, so we will not be invaded by the Hot Rod Power Tour after I tell you this. But so we land in Nashville around 9 a.m. 2 days ago. Evidence of the Power Tour everywhere, whether it be the airport, whether it be driving to the drag strip that we ended up racing at. It was awesome. You know, the back roads of right outside of Nashville, strategically timed when we were about to do our event. It was a great backdrop to see some killer cars and to see what the Hot Rod Power Tour is all about. That was not why we were there. And we were trying to keep it under wraps as to what we were doing, because we didn't want the public to find out. God forbid one of us put one of our cars into the wall, and we didn't want anybody to see that. Thankfully, I can report that we had no issues other than the fact that my right rear shock and my 170 was malfunctioning. Therefore, I couldn't put it in complete drag mode. And Kenny Wayne's chiller wasn't functioning properly. You know, a couple little issues. But I was extremely tentative because I, as a pessimist, was looking at a number of videos where these 170s had blown up. And I'm like, Jesus, I got 40 miles on the car. It's been on the dyno. It's not completely prepped. They say 1,500 miles before you track it, you know, and it's just like, oh, shit, am I going to be that guy whose motors, who I'm going to throw a piston through the block or something? But, you know, my intent was to take the 170 up there and run it and get the front tires off the ground, shut it down, and then jump in the twin turbo.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I haven't gone into detail. It was Dave Savaggio and with a little bit of Dodge's help, put on a little event at a drag strip. I can't remember the name of the drag strip, but it was about 30 minutes outside of Nashville.
It was eighth mile strip, though. It wasn't
eighth mile strip, yeah. Which again was fantastic because, you know, you're not taxing the car that much. It's a half the track that you normally would be running. Speeds are lower. Stuff like that. So it catered well to what we were doing. Savaggio was out there. He had that winged, you know, Superbird with the Hellcat motor in it that that Mario had had built. And so it was Savaggio kind of put it together. Mario from Gearhead Fabrications was there as technical support for everything.
Yeah.
And we had Kid Rock, we had Kenny Wayne Shepherd, we had, Matt Kutcher, my buddy from Stunts and Special Effects, Spectrum Stunts and Special Effects.
Mm-hmm.
And, Kate was there, and it was an unbelievable time for all of us who were Demon 170 owners to have a prepped track and have mechanical support to be able to take these things out and do what they actually were built to do. And true, I have a one of one 170 and I paid an extra chunk to get it. Kenny Wayne has the same thing.
Yeah.
So does Kid. And I've got a little more experience than they do going down the drag strip. I didn't take out extra insurance because, as I said, I have a fairly limited amount of experience with these cars, considering the two cars that I drive daily have just as much horsepower as the 170.
Yeah.
But they're completely different animals. And what my experience definitely lended itself to what we were doing, but it's a whole different animal. And my intent was to take the time to learn how to drive the twin turbo. Well, in driving the 170, I had so much damn fun and it was so freaking easy to pilot that car. And the track was prepped enough to where, it wasn't as dangerous as it could be. I took run after run after run, had fun. We, pulled the chute. Actually, this term of pulling the chute is bullshit. You push the chute.
Yeah.
Right. And so I didn't deploy it properly the three times that I attempted to, because I'm thinking about trying to cross the line and when do I lend the brake and the chute, and I don't pull it, I push it. And so one time Kid and I were racing. I won't divulge who won, but we're racing and we were supposed to deploy the chutes at the end of the track, and it's an eighth mile and we're only going 120. Right. And so, you want to be going as fast as possible when you deploy this thing. So obviously it does its job. And so I deploy it right over the finish line and nothing happens. Right. So I jump on the brakes and I turn the corner, to go back to the start line, and all of a sudden Kid's behind me and the chute goes, it just plops right out of the car. Right. So it's like, this chute shit sucks. I it's just another thing to think about. Right.
Yeah.
Eighth mile, you're not going to need it. Well, with these cars, but top speed going a quarter mile, yeah, it's something that you probably should depend upon. But it was a big learning experience for me. I had so much fun. I have to say that Kenny Wayne and Rob Hart, AZ Demon, our buddy from Scottsdale,
mm-hmm.
They made the most progress throughout the day. It was so much fun watching Kenny bring both of his demons out.
Yeah.
His sons were in the passenger seat, from time to time. And it was just a great experience, man. I mean, you want to talk about the definition of the brotherhood of muscle, define it any better than what I just explained to you. You got guys with one of ones with proper support, Hail Marying it, going down the dragway, not giving a shit about anything except for having fun. And the smiles on my face and everyone else's faces meant that the event was an unbelievable success. And we had so much fun doing it. It was great. Wagner was out there from Dodge, and we had the best support team we could have had for that vehicle. And, Gearhead and Mario have tested in that car so much that they know it up and down already. And it was a great experience, man. I can't say any more positives about it than I already have, except for I will over the next 40 minutes. But it was a day to remember. Quite obviously, hanging out with Kid, I'd never met him before, going to his house. I had to store both of my cars at his house.
Yeah.
Transport, for one reason or another.
Because you didn't stay and do the power tour, like Kenny Wayne Shepherd stayed to do power, because his family came out and they were doing power tour together. And
yeah,
and Kenny, for a little bit, at least a leg or something of it, some part.
Yeah,
of it.
That was his kickoff for the power tour. It was more of a family thing. I and Matt Kutcher had to fly back because tomorrow morning we fly out to Columbus area and do a little demolition derby action.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, so more power to Kenny, man. He's a true car guy. There's no doubt.
He really is. Yeah.
But like I say, him bringing his white 18 car and flogging it and learning how to drive in it and competing with the 170, you know, side by side.
Yeah.
Giving it a damn go. I mean, that kid, my hat's off to him. I love him as a human. I respect him and love him as an artist. But as a dad, man, he won my medal that day. That was cool as shit. I just wish that I had Gage with me. But
yeah,
had him in the car when I did that 3-minute burnout in the Demon when he was 12. So we're good.
You know, years ago, when we were doing the show Car Collectors for GQ magazine, I was hosting that show and went out to a bunch of the collections. Of course, we went down and to your collection. We got in the Cobra before you committed to redoing it. So it was a good opportunity to throw it around a little bit. When we had a good time doing it. I did an episode at Kenny Wayne's house, and his whole family, his wife, they're fantastic. They're sweet. And his collection is cool, and was so happy to like show us around and jam on the guitar a little bit. And it was a lot of fun to do that episode. And he's been out on CarCast a few times as well over the years.
Well, in all honesty, for anybody that's listening out there, you want an example of a true good man. Everything he exemplifies and everything that I witnessed that day down the track, you can't get any better people than Kenny Wayne Shepherd. He's an extremely successful guy. He's a terrific artist, but he's even better father and husband. And to be able to see that with a guy with such a success, it's really damn cool. And it's refreshing, right? And hey man, I bet you had to kick him out. You had to leave kicking and screaming at his place because he probably would have showed you everything he had and talked about it for hour upon hour. So he's a true car guy, and it's just great to see that.
I'm glad he's out there and he's having fun, and I agree completely. And looking forward to having him back on the show at some point. I got to reach out again and just extend the invitation. Just let him know it's an open ticket here anytime he wants to do that. But I want to talk a little bit about getting out there and actually driving. So you were just driving the 170, and how was it? Were you able to start to knock down like that 60-foot time and launch better, or like how was it getting in that car and be able to hit it off the line again and again and again and have a good team around you guys like Mario and stuff?
Well, it was fantastic. I mean, quite obviously you're tentative in the beginning. You don't know the track. It's a skinny, skinny lane. You know, traction's always an issue and the weather's an issue, but I mean, we were able to get the tires up to freaking 150, you know, prior to every launch. And, you know, we were set up properly, and we had the guys to really lean on that knew those cars inside and out. And yes, I was able to knock down, whether it be launches or whether it be 60 foot times or whether it be, you know, rolling through the clock at the end of the drag strip. And I didn't get very good at deploying the chute, but the problem is that that car is meant to do exactly what we were doing, but there comes a time when your senses have to kick in. Like I said, Rob Hart in his blue, and it wasn't not a one of one, but he had, well, he pretty much put 500 miles on it in one day
on the drag strip at an eighth mile at a time.
Oh no, prior, he drove the car for like 8 hours.
Oh, that's good.
500 miles on it just so it would be ready.
Yeah,
I thought mine had been dynoed because you see all of the stuff and you see the literature about, you know, Dodge coming out, don't track the car before 1500 miles, let alone 500. And I'm like, oh Jesus. And then you hear about a guy who blew the piston through the block at 73 miles. And I'm thinking, shit, I paid 160 grand for this car. I'm going to take it down the drag strip. That's stupid, you know, but at the end of the day, again, you only live once and these cars are meant to be beat on. That's what they're for. And it's meant to go down the drag strip. And if you don't do it, you're a fucking absolute idiot because you only live once. And when you have a car with 1,025 horsepower with a warranty, and that's a quarter mile monster, if you don't take it as a car guy down the drag strip at least once, then, you know, you should be put in jail. So that was me talking myself into it. But yeah, the day could not have been better. We had them open up the other side, obviously, so that we could do a couple races. I'm just going to tease you guys a little bit. We did a race between Wagner and I'm 170 and my twin turbo going down the track side by side. And we did a little wager for charity, and it was fun, man. It was freaking terrifying, but it was fun. And let's just say that my trip down the drag strip, that first time in the twin turbo in the passenger seat, losing traction in every gear.
Yeah.
And locking up the brake, the ABS at the end of the run, and it making it look like the motor blew because of the smoke. That was enough to keep me in the passenger seat and not getting in the driver's seat. The fact is, I need to be on a runway when I start with this car. There's no way you need to be on a single lane drag strip. It's way too violent. It's got 1300 of the tires. Every time it shifts gears, it freaking breaks loose. I don't care what speed you're going, because we're going 120 going into fourth or whatever it was, and we broke the tires loose. And as awesome as that is, it's also terrifying at the same time if you don't have the history behind the wheel. So I took advantage of it, and I learned a lot about that car in the passenger seat, just watching Mario do his thing. But yeah, the 170 is a purpose-built badass sumbitch going down that drag strip. And what was bad for me was I couldn't go in complete drag mode because the right rear shock was broken. So I had to stay in sport to keep it fully tightened up.
Okay.
So it didn't undulate, right? So you don't get the sitting down effect out of the chute that car is meant to do. I probably didn't even tell any difference, for God's sakes. But the car, you know, it's point and shoot. It was awesome, man. I mean, I stayed in the damn thing. My takeoff was tough because the tree, I didn't really pay much attention to the tree, because I wasn't concerned about, oh, let's get a great 60-foot time. Well, let's see, you know, if I run a whatever it is, a 6.2 that Mario ran, you know, down the track in my car. I didn't care about that. As long as I knew that I was progressing each and every time. I mean, I red lighted probably three times, but I didn't care about the tree. I didn't care about my takeoff, because I cared about getting into the car and feeling the car and actually letting it do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I progressed exponentially, but as far as like time wise, I have no idea what I ran, but it was a very positive experience. Nobody got hurt. Nobody blew anything up.
That's good. And
at the end of the day, we go to kids' house and we have some cocktails and had a little bit of fun and lit the Statue of Liberty standing over his pool. And I mean, that was an experience in and of itself. And he's a true car guy. Also, he worked his ass off, man. And he's got like a one-of-one kind of a root beerish looking paint scheme, and it's badass.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was really cool. And to see him in his element and having fun and, you know, doing burnouts and getting sideways and not giving a shit about anything, it was great. It was a true track day for guys who may have had titles going into it, but at the end of the day, we were all the same because we were all car guys, and we just had fun, man. And you know, a buddy of ours brought his Hellcat powered Superbird out there to go down the track. And that's killer, man. It was a great experience. It really was something that I am so thankful that I did. And that's leading to us to going down, taking him down and doing it again down in Bradenton now, right with Mario. So we're already making plans of doing it again. So I'm ecstatic. I'm over the moon. I want my car back because it's sitting out in front of Kid Rock's house.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
That's all right. It's probably not a terrible place to park your car for a couple of days.
No, it's just they still have the keys, and he's got a lot of people around there.
He does.
Questionable, and, you know.
All right. So let's take a quick break, and then we're going to bring in Ray McClellan from Full Throttle Customs, and we're going to chat with him. So let's just take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so Ray, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. It's been a little bit of back and forth, you and I, in the past several weeks, maybe the past couple of months. But before we get into that, just one more question, Bill, was on all of the stuff that you guys did out there, because Ray, we were just talking, Bill just did a quick trip and was drag racing his 170 with Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Kid Rock and a handful of friends, and they all brought out various Dodges and 170s and his twin turbo car, and they just did like a 24-hour monster fest at an 8-mile drag strip, and then Kenny went off to do power tour, and then these guys all went to Kid Rock's house for a couple of cocktails and then flew home, and I'm surprised you're not still wearing your sunglasses, because you started off the show with the sunglasses trying to stay awake. But anyway, but my question was, are we going to be able to, I guess you can fill it in later, was some of this is filmed. It's going to be part of Darge Garage or some video or something, right? We're going to be able to see some of the action you guys were doing out there. We didn't get the call to action.
I would be willing to bet that Dodge Garage will not be putting it out there because of the direction they're going, right? I mean, let's be clear. The fact is that, yes, I captured a lot of stuff for Goldberg's Garage.
Okay.
The new TV show, we haven't solidified exactly who we want as the showrunner, so the network didn't want it filmed. So it'll be exclusively on Goldberg's Garage. I think what it'll be is it'll just be the Demon 170, you know, call out tour or whatever the hell it is. And I will save the twin turbo footage for when we present it on Goldberg's Garage. But yeah, man, you'll definitely see it. There was some badass stuff filmed. We got some great drone footage. The burnout that Mario did in my twin turbo alone is something to view. I mean, if you're a car guy and if it doesn't make you sit at the edge of your seat and just foam at the mouth, I don't know, your heartbeat's not freaking working. But it was killer, man, and I have to show it to the public. So, yeah, I mean, if you look on Instagram this morning, I just put a little clip of the Superbird, you know, with the Hellcat motor popping, going by the 170. But, yeah, it'll be out there. It'll be out in probably a couple of weeks.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that. Ray, maybe you know Mario at Gearhead Fabrications out of Florida, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he built Bill a Dodge Charger rear wheel drive, because we talked about all wheel drive at one point, but rear wheel drive, 1300 rear wheel horsepower twin turbo Charger. And they brought it out to try to stretch its legs a little bit. And I think the intention was to build to get some seat time in it, but after riding shotgun with Mario, I think it was just best he just take the reins for a little bit because it still had some things to be worked out.
Yeah, and truthfully, as I said and stated, and you know, I have no problem saying I'm an infant when it comes to turbo cars. And Mario is the master of turbo cars, considering he wants to twin turbo every single thing that comes in his shop. I learned a lot, but the one thing I did learn is that doing a drag race with a flag drop in a turbo car sucks because you don't have the time to stage and to spool up. And I didn't know all of that. And because I'm not a turbo guy. So this is something I learned along the way. You know, you sit there and you're, and he waits too long and you're spooled up, you're going to blow one of those turbos out. Or if you're not spooled up, you're going to be left on the starting line, right? So flag drop in a twin turbo car ain't easy, right? So that's mainly why I didn't get behind the wheel. Well, that's one of the 50 reasons why I didn't do it. But I didn't want to hurt the car at launch. And truthfully told, I don't even know how to do a big nasty burnout in that thing with the turbos, you know. So it's a learning process, but I'll spank someone's ass in my 170. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. All right. So, Ray, so we've talked about you a lot over the years on the show. Every time our cars are running poorly, we're like, we got to get the car over to Ray. And so I think everybody that has listened over the years knows that you are a dyno tuner. You have the dyno shop there, but Full Throttle Customs has... You can explain it, please, better than I can, but it's much more than that. You guys do a lot over there, and the two locations, your son, Ray Jr., runs another location. Give us a quick overview of Full Throttle.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in business since 1991. We have the California location, which we opened in 2010, late 2009, somewhere around there, and then... The Ohio location, it's in Boardman, Ohio. My son runs that one. We don't do paint. We don't do interior. Aside from that, you know, we pretty much do almost everything. We 3 to 5 engine swaps a month, you know, a lot of LS and, you know, mostly LS actually lately. You know, everything comes in waves, you know. You get a bunch of LS stuff and then you get a bunch of mod motor stuff. Then it's on to the Hemi stuff. So, I mean, it jumps around, but. For the most part, we do a lot of tuning. The dyno's running all day, every day.
Speaking of waves, I'll be flying into Columbus tomorrow and driving up to some track an hour north, I think it is, doing a demolition derby. So I don't know how close your son's shop is, but I'll do a nice little wave at him.
Cool. Yeah, no, the those guys, there's always the idea was the Ohio store predominantly did diesel stuff because when my son went to college and he went for the background, you know, he went technical and to the technical college. And the idea was his passion was diesel stuff. And, you know, after he graduated college, he came out here and out in California at that time, we're talking, you know, God, would be guessing my days. We work so much, the days all blur together. But let's just say about 10 years ago or so, you know, he out here diesel stuff was lift kits and wheels, you know, and then they'd throw an exhaust on it. You know, nobody was really doing the big power stuff. And he was, you know, he had a Dodge that was making 1,800 horsepower, you know, and he was driving it back and forth to school. So, you know, his passion was, you know, big power stuff because that's what we grew up doing. You know, I mean, for me, I could never really get into the Honda Civics and we tried a Nissan 350Z twin turbo. I just, if it can't ride wheelies, I can't, I gotta have that G-force, you know, I gotta be thrown back in a seat and those cars just don't do it for me. And he was the same way, you know, so.
And then you put one out in Texas, man, these guys out here and their diesels are freaking nuts. They'll pull up next to me in a 1300 horsepower, you know, Challenger and smoke me.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, he was out here for about 8 or 9 months. And then we were going back and forth, you know, to Ohio working because we have a huge customer base back on the East Coast. And he got back there, and he was only going to be there for a couple weeks, and then it turned into a couple months, then it turned into he hasn't come back. So
yeah, he's grew the shop and grew a family and everything out there. He's just been busy. Yeah. And I've actually, through of course, through you and when we first connected years and years ago, you know, Ray was a kid, and now he's a dad.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? The shop back there has really grown. I mean, he's doing McLarens, he's doing a little bit of everything. I just did an LS3 install swap on a Porsche, just all kinds of stuff. He's got a military truck there with an LS swap and a turbo, an 80-millimeter turbo. We're supposed to be tuning that today. Just all kinds of crazy stuff going on back there. He's got a big mix, but I'd say probably 60%+ is diesel stuff still. And he's still doing a big, you know, he does trucks. He works on cars, you know, trucks for the Ultimate Callout Challenge and all that stuff. He was just displayed out there actually in the AMSOIL booth this, a week ago or so.
Yeah. Okay.
And then out here in this facility, we do.
Oop, just lost you.
Very rare. I don't know if you guys ever saw one, but we're doing a 2019 6.7 Power Stroke swap in that right now for SEMA. Aside from that, we do very little diesel out here. It's almost, we're so flooded. We've got almost 30 cars out there right now. And it's just engine swaps and blowers and nitrous and tuning and, you know, big brake kits and all that kind of stuff.
And so many of the builders, so many Southern California builders that do some really, really high end builds, or some of the builders that have turnkey cars like Eleanor, you know, Mustangs that are doing is, you know, a few, you know, maybe a couple of months. I don't know. There, a lot of them are leaning on you to tune those cars.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The probably 40% of our work comes from other shops, and that's great. You know, we've spent a lot of years building a reputation. We don't advertise or anything. Everything's word of mouth. And, you know, when these shops come in, they're picking one up and or dropping one off and pick one up and, you know, just rotating them. And, you know, there is you know, Fusion, we do a lot of tuning for them. They're the ones that are licensed to do the Eleanors. And, you know, we've done the Defenders. They do LS swap Defenders and stuff. We do a lot of that. So, I mean, a lot of shops are, you know, they pretty much get most of the build together, bring it here. We finish it up. We don't advertise any of that stuff. It goes back to the shop. They take credit for it, but they bring me work all the time. So it works out well for us.
But you got to pay for the dyno.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into the Mustang a little bit. So we brought the Mustang over. Two things that have come up is like, one, what did we do to kind of get that car in good shape? And I was trying to explain to people, first off, the difference between the different type of dynos. We've heard Mustang dyno, which is not Ford Mustang. That Mustang is a separate company. It's the name of the dyno. Dynojet is another company. And then you see them on the rollers. Sometimes you see them in the ground. You see them up out of the ground. You see them bolted to the hubs of the wheels are off in the back and you're bolted to the hub. So give us a quick overview of the different type of dynos and maybe, I don't know, is one better than the other, or it's just kind of a different way to approach things?
Well, I've been running dynos since early 90s. So I'm an old school dyno guy when it comes to it. So when it comes down to it, you know, dynos are those things where, you know, almost every one of them will read a different horsepower. And you can't compare them. It's not, you know, it's apples and oranges a lot of times. So when you ask me what are the best ones on the market, I'm going to tell you it's a Mustang dyno, it's a Dynapack, or it's a Superflow. Those are the ones that we really lean on that, you know, because realistically, if we do a modification, let's say we put on a cold air intake and we gain 10 horsepower, we should be able to take off that cold air intake and lose exactly 10 horsepower. If we didn't, then some condition has changed, air intake temperature, cool down, whatever. Yeah. There's lots of different variables. So that being said, those dynos, I've personally done product testing on all those for K&N and lots of different companies through the years. And we found that you can keep them accurate that way. The over the years, Dynajet early on didn't have load control. They didn't have an eddy current brake system or anything. So essentially, it was great if you were at a racetrack or something and you just wanted to compare car to car to car, and not really who cares what the number is. Let's just see, you know, who's got the highest horsepower. Those were great for that. But whenever it come down for tuning, there was a shop in Georgia I used to go to called All Speed down in what's the name of that town? Peachtree City, Georgia. That's where it was. And we'd go down and they do dyno weekends, and we would literally we have to, you know, pull a horsepower number on the dyno, then I'd have to take it out on a street and tune it, because I needed, you know, I specialize in drivability tuning. In order to get accurate or perfect drivability, you have to have accurate input, you know, because every time you move your foot, it's either anticipating acceleration or deceleration. So your trims are changing and there's lots of different variables there. So it's really hard. And on Dynajets, the old school ones, it's like jacking the back end of a car up. And once the wheels start to turn, there's resistance, but once they're rolling, they're free spinning. So you really need that load to be able to simulate what's going on the street. So Dynajet stepped up and they started doing load control. God, like I said, my days are all mixed together, but let's say maybe 10 years ago or something like that, they finally stepped up and started doing, you know, the XL series and stuff like that, which is good. You know, I've used Dynajets for motorcycles forever, but so they're decent. Their newer stuff is pretty decent, but when people say they have a Dynajet, do you know, there's three different levels of Dynajets through the years, you know, and is it a 10% loss to the wheels? Is it a 17% loss to the wheels? Or is it a 27% loss to the wheels? And it depends on the dyno you're on. And then you look at a lot of these companies that have popped up within the last 10 years, Dynacom and all these, like, I've never heard of them, but they're popping up left and right, you know, and the dyno prices are half of what, you know, Mustangs and Dynapacks, you know, you want a good Dynapack, you're going to spend 120 grand, you know, for the full setup that you can run, you know, all 4 wheels, that kind of thing. And you can get into some of these Dynacoms and some of these cheaper dynos for, you know, probably 30 grand, you know, 25, 30 grand. We had a shop out here in Ventura. What was the name of Johnny Spittle? He's a drummer for Trace Atkins. He went back to him now that he's back drumming, but he had a shop and he had bought a Dynacom and he kept having problems with it. And basically, you know, we would go over there, he'd have me come over and tune on his dyno for him. And I'm like, well, you know, the numbers are all over the place. You know, what are we going to do? And he would call them up and he'd have a problem and they'd come in and they're like, well, basically to calibrate the dyno, we have to get a car on that we know the horsepower. Then we make that dyno match the horsepower. I'm like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know what I mean? So you get all those guys out there that like the cheap numbers and all that kind of stuff. Those are the dynos you want to use. You know what I mean? Those are the dynos that, you know, everybody, the older school Dynajets and stuff, that's what everybody wants to see on forums. They want to see the big number, whether it's realistic or not. Me personally, if you're tuning for the ever living horsepower, it's, you know, engines run best lean right before they blow up. So they're going to make the most amount of power.
Right.
So, you know, if you're, you know, a race car, then you want to run it on ragged edge because you got deep pockets, you know, your sponsors and everything else. And, you know, you got to make next weekend and it doesn't matter if you blow an engine, it's all about winning. That's one thing. But when you come back to the street world, it's a whole different ball game because, you know, guys today, they come in here and into the shop regularly. I mean, it's, I can't tell you how many people come in a week and they're like, well, I need to have 1,000 horsepower in my street car. They have no concept of what 1,000 horsepower is. And you tell them that, you know, once you start cresting 600 wheel on a street car, it becomes a little bit scary sometimes because you can't see the dust and the dirt on a street and that kind of thing. And you're talking about an 800 horsepower flywheel car that can be very tricky. You know, it can get you out of control really fast. And these kids don't understand that kind of thing, but they come in, we have to educate them all the time. You know, what is this? And, you know, how much power, you know, what's the fastest thing you've ever driven? They're like, well, you know, I had a turbo on a Honda Civic. Well, then, you know, let's do baby steps, you know, let's get you up to the point because it's a learning curve. But these people want to be able to drive these cars back and forth to work and have perfect drivability like they did from the factory when they bought the car, but they want to make, you know, quadruple the horsepower. And that's where we come in. We specialize a lot in that. You know, we do a lot of the drivability stuff.
So let's talk about the Mustang Mach 1. Mm-hmm. What did we end up doing there? Because, you know, we work with Hellion Turbo, John mm-hmm. Urist over there. Mm-hmm. I like John a lot. I know you've worked with him as well. Good guy. Awesome. And a hell of a drag racer, by the way, the guy was fast. And, he worked with SEMA Garage on developing an emissions legal twin turbo kit and mm-hmm. did all of the testing and stuff on the kit. and we wanted to debut this at the SEMA show. And they're just, they passed the emissions test here in California. They got the car, and they're waiting on paperwork and stuff to get it fully certified, to get it done. But, you know, we had a very rudimentary tune just to get it to the SEMA show, just to kind of get it there. And then by the time we brought it back and dialed in a few things and tightened up a few clamps and fixed a few leaks here and there, I finally got it over to you guys to kind of dial it in. And like you said, drivability was key. So achieving a horsepower number that made sense. And, you know, there was a little bit of hesitation and around, you know, 2000 RPM or whatever it was, so something along the lines of that. So we just needed to fix that. So what did you guys end up doing to it?
Yeah, I mean, basically it's data logging and it's tune revisions. You know, you're basically driving. It has an eddy current brake on the side of our dyno. So we put in what's called a vehicle simulation mode, and we do all the drivability data logging, you know, basically just as if you're driving it on the street. And we check all your fuel trims, your timing. And, you know, when you look at some of these new computers, you know, you're talking about 11 to 1600 tables, depending on a computer that you have to adjust, and everything talks to everything. It's not like the old school days, you know, the old Fox body Mustangs that have, you know, 20 tables to adjust. You know, it's pretty extensive nowadays. So there's a lot that you have to look at and take into consideration. And then the other thing is, you know, the platform you have, you know, I mean, you're not totally utilizing the power potential of what you have, you know.
You have to drive the car to do that.
Yeah. And we're sensitive to octane, we figured out as well. Our shitty gas is so bad out here.
Yeah, it is. And that's another thing, you know, one of the waivers that we have, and you know, people are always afraid of waivers, but you know, I try to educate people when they come in and drop a car off, when it talks about fuel, because, you know, 91's not 91's not 91. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you're getting 91 at Shell, Chevron, 76, something like that, as opposed to a Costco, Valero, whatever, it's coming from who knows where, you know, they come in and we get cars in all the time. Yeah, I just put a fresh tank of 91 in, but it's picking up knock. It's stock timing. I'm like, well, there's something going on here. You know, we've got, you know, a mechanical issue, or we've got a fuel issue. You know, so we'll, you know, sometimes we'll throw a little bit of unleaded octane booster in, and if that clears it up, then we know that it's a fuel issue.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know,
that was brought to my attention this last 2 days ago, because a lot of these cars are E85. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know the vast difference between E85 and other E85, you know.
It
should have been the same. Wow.
Yeah, to bring up, I mean, that's a perfect example, and that's a good thing to talk about, is E85, because that's been a craze for a while now. And what people don't realize is when you go to a pump, it could be 52 to 80 or 81. You know what I mean? You don't really know what you're getting.
Is there more of a variance with E85 than super unleaded or unleaded these days?
Oh,
I had never heard of it being 30 points down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy out here. I don't know how it is where you're at, but out here it's pretty crazy. We have a couple stations that we try to hit regularly, and it'll be for the most part up into the mid to high 70s, fairly consistent. But what, you know, the difference is, you get some of the, if you have a content sensor with E85, then we can dial it in. You know, we don't just plug and play on a content sensor. We have to literally dial it in for, as the percentages go, as it changes. And that way it's dialed in perfectly. A lot of these guys just throw a content sensor on, say, oh, you know, E85 is 9.8 and stoic is, you know, 1401. And then it figures out the rest of it. And that's not really how it works. But at least that way, if you have a content sensor, you're fairly safe. Where it gets dangerous is we get guys in here with like Mustangs and stuff. We just had another one in. And the guy's like, well, I just want, you know, I think this was in the Ohio location actually last week. He's like, I just want to run E85. And it's a 23 Mustang GT. And I was like, well, you know, that's fine. But if you're picking it up out of the pump, realize whatever it comes in at, that content, I'm going to test it. And that's what I'm going to tune it at. And if you vary from that content, everything can change. You can be holding pistons in your hand really, really quick. So because there's nothing to be able to adjust. Yes, you have wide bands and it's going to adjust. But I mean, realistically, the further you get away from a perfect zero, you know, a 1.0, you know, you get 25% plus off because the content's way off and it can't calibrate correctly. The car starts running bad. And some of these guys, like I had one in yesterday, you know, he knew it wasn't running right. But if you look at, like, it was a Holley. So I could go and I can look and see exactly on a learn table where he's been running it. And the whole top of the learn table is wide open throttle. He's like, it's not running right, but he's forcing it to go wide open throttle. It's like, when do you engage the brain and say, well, if it isn't running right, I should probably fix the problem before we try to blow the engine up, you know? But I mean, a lot of these guys don't do it.
So taking the E85 into consideration, and forgive my ignorance, because I am not a drag racer by any stretch of the imagination as much as I'm going to be in the future, but are companies selling, you know, proper E85?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's a supplier down the road that, you know, like we have one guy, we're doing a drag and drive car right now, 55 Chevy. I did a 434 LS3. We did a Frankenstein intake of F1 Pro Charger, all kind of stuff, but it's only caged to run 850s. It's tubbed, the whole deal. And he wants to be able to run 91. And then at the track, we're going to put 100 octane in it. So, you know, when you come to that, we have them buy drums because then we know exactly what's going on. One of his other cars, you know, we set up that, you know, is an E85 car. And at that point we have them do the same thing. If it's drag and drive or something that we're going to push the limits on and it doesn't have a content sensor or something, then you need to have a 55 gallon drum that you're going to pull out of that. That way it's consistent every time you put it in. You get a lot of these guys that, you know, on the gas side of things, you know, they want to, you know, they're like, well, I have 91 and I'm going to put 5 gallons worth of 100 octane in, and that's, you know, 5 gallons of 91, and that's going to give me, you know, 96 octane. That's not how it works, you know, because it doesn't work. You know, 5 gallons of 5 gallons is not a perfect mix. So, you know, when you come down to it, you know, again, if I, you know, whatever we tune it for, that's what it is. If your computer or your system, no matter how much you tell them, no matter how many times you have them sign off on it, you put it on the invoice, they still come back and they're like, well, it's just, you know, I get guys all the time, you know, big built cams, all kinds of E85. And they're like, it doesn't cold start like it used to. Well, it's not going to. We now have cold spark plugs, a really big ass cam, E85, which is like race gas, you know, essentially it is. And so, I mean, it doesn't like to burn, you know, I mean, the whole idea of that is to slow down the burn. You know, that's how we are able to take advantage of the timing.
I mean, certainly if you think about it, Bill, like going to any of the races, the vintage races, we always bring all of our own fuel. We just order up drums of VP Racing fuel specifically for the cars. And like in Adam Carolla's collection, he's got turbo cars and big engine cars and small engine cars and naturally aspirated. And we get different fuels for the different cars. But yeah, when we were all at Goodwood and you drove the NASCAR truck and stuff, all those teams show up with their own fuel because they, like you're saying, Ray, those engines aren't made to adapt to different octanes. They're dialed in for maximum performance on that fuel, and you want the consistency. So we get drums delivered.
Yeah. Exactly. And that, I mean, there's no question. I mean, you'd have to be a mental midget not to understand that these days when it comes to race fuel. But I was questioning the E85 now because it's become so prevalent and now everybody loves it, and they assume that you show up to the pump and every E85 is going to be the same. But in the 170s, it's got to the gauge and it'll tell you exactly what it is. And I've never been in a vehicle that had the ability to do that. And it really can shock you when you just went to the pump and threw E85 in, you filled it up with 28 gallons or whatever the hell it is, or 20 gallons, and shit, your gauge says 51, right? And so you're like, what happened? But, you know, now I completely understand it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, most guys, that's why you can safely set it up so that it can adjust and it's fine. There are systems, even like your Demon has that capability. Most vehicles don't. So you'll run an app like the Advanced Fuel Systems or whatever, and you run the app and you can check your content at any point and you can see. So that way, if it doesn't feel as strong, you're looking at it. It's not like, well, there's a problem with the car because, you know, I'm running 51 versus 80. You know what I mean? Because you can feel that kind of a difference, you know, that seat of the pants difference. But I mean, your Demon 170s, I mean, that's technology at its finest right there. You know, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah,
we were always going down the track.
Taking it down the track. All right, we're going to be running out of time, but I just wanted to share this, and I'll post this if you're not watching the YouTube video. But we do have the dyno sheet from Ray's shop. The Mustang did 608 horsepower at the wheels on the Mustang dyno, running about 10 pounds of boost. We actually added a boost controller, so whatever was sort of just set at from the original kit, we didn't have an electronic boost controller, but you wanted to dial that in. Mm-hmm. So about 10 pounds of boost. So 608 horsepower at the wheels, 573 pound feet of torque. I don't know what that is at the crank, probably somewhere around 750 or so at the crank.
Yeah, and we could do a calculation.
And that's honestly, it feels like a night and day difference, because when we went in originally with sort of the, you know, the prototype tune, if you will, it was about 530 at the tires, but also had like a little hesitation, like I said, around 2000. So it's all mm-hmm. cleaned up. It's good. It runs good now. And now I'm way more excited to get more seat time in the car. It's
well,
fun.
We need to do a fuel system and, you know, an E85 setup for you, and you need to get out there and drive. But I mean, honestly, even at 10 pounds of boost, I mean, there's so much room to grow on your package. You know what I mean? That turbo kit that he has on there, you're not even going to be able to use the capability of what that system has. It's an amazing system.
Yeah, but it sounds cool.
Just to give you a little bit of an example, and I know it's apples to oranges, but, you know, we had all the controllers. Mario is doing his thing with the twin turbo car, and we ended up, I think the last run, it was a three stage. So it was 15, 20, and 25 pounds of boost. And once he got up over 20, my butthole started puckering a little bit. And that explained why I wasn't behind the wheel. But yeah, it's the technology of those turbos and the stage kits. It's out of my mind, but it's something that I'm very much looking forward to playing around
with. Oh yeah. And it's a big learning curve for sure.
Yeah. I think, Bill, I think your takeaway from even just riding in your twin turbo car with Mario driving is what a handful it really gets to be once you're at that horsepower level. Like, Ray, you're already saying anything over 600 on the street at the tires, 600 of the tires, becomes a task. Once you're putting over 1,000 at the tires.
Well, yeah, when like, that third stage kicks in and you're going 125 miles an hour and you break the tire in an 8-mile track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I puckered pretty damn good. But you know, again, it just shows you the amount of knowledge needed and the amount of seat time needed. And hey man, again, it's just opens up another area to learn. And as a car guy, hey, I don't have no problem telling anybody and everybody that I'm a mental midget when it comes to the mechanicals of these cars and especially turbos. But now as a guy who wants to grow knowledge wise, I got so much more to learn. And that means so much more time on the track. And that means so many more smiles on my face.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Ray, we're going to have to do this again. I'm sure there's more to talk about. We didn't get into Bill's carburetor tuning issues, but maybe your answer is ditch him and put EFI on, but he's working on
EFI on a 63 factory lightweight race car. That ain't happening.
Listen, it's reversible. You can always go back.
Carburetors
are easy. But if you've got three of them on there,
yeah, no problem.
Ray,
just get a couple days off of your schedule. I'll fly you in, and I got like 15 cars I need to be tuned up.
I'm down. Let me know when.
Hey, rock and roll.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Full Throttle Customs is the shop. It's Customs with a K and a Z, but we'll put links up on the website and in the YouTube video and stuff. But Ray, thanks so much, always a pleasure, and I appreciate the help working on the cars as usual.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll
and Ray,
guys.
It's an honor, and don't think that I'm not serious about that invitation.
Yeah, no, let me know whenever. We'll schedule something down. I'll come out. I could use a break.
Awesome. Well, it's a break, but you're gonna go and work.
Well, I get to hang out with Bill, so you know,
I get to hang out with Bill, and it's hot in Texas right now. So
the garage is air conditioned, so you'll be good.
Oh, perfect.
I look forward to it, man. Thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs,
Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.